जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो विद लव कॉल आउट श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतान की All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, verses 12 and 13. So we'll just chant responsibly the number 12. Korvishchatava Padam Strin. Sarabheya Chatuspada Mabhuvam Swadrisha Rashtre Rajan Krishna Nuvartinam Please chant.
Kovishchatava Padam
Sarabheya Chatuspada
Mabhuvam Sadrisha Rashtre
Mabhuvam Sadrisha Rashtre
Bhagyam Krishna Nupartina
Rajyam Krishna Nupartina
Namaste. Sarabhaya Chatuspada. Mahabhuvam Svadrisha Rashtra. Rajam Krishna Vartina.
He, Maharaj Parikshit, repeatedly addressed and questions the bull thus, O son of Surabhi, who has cut off your three legs? In the state of the kings who are obedient to the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, there is no one as unhappy as you. Purport. The kings of the executive heads of all states must know the codes of Lord Krishna, generally Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and must act accordingly in order to fulfill the mission of human life, which is to make an end to all miseries and material conditions. One who knows the codes of Lord Krishna can achieve this end without any difficulty. In the Bhagavad Gita is a synopsis we can understand the codes of Godhead, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam the same codes are explained further. In a state where the codes of Krishna are followed, no one is unhappy. Where such codes are not followed, the first sign is that three legs of representative of religion are cut off, and thereby all miseries follow. When Krishna was personally present, the codes of Krishna were being followed without question. But in his absence, such codes are presented in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam for the guidance of the blind persons who happen to be at the helm of all affairs. Say this one together. Next verse.
Akhyai Vishnu Bhadram Ba Sadhunam Akrita Vassam Atma Darupya Kartaram Parthanam Kirti Dushanam.
Translation purport. O bull, you are offenseless and thoroughly honest. Therefore, I wish all good to you. Please tell me of the perpetrator of these mutilations which blackmail the reputation of the sons of Pritha. Blackmail, Kirti Dushanam, blackmailing. Kirti Dushanam, blackmailing the reputation. Purport. The reputation of the reign of Maharaj Ramachandra and that of the kings who followed in the footsteps of Maharaj Ramachandra, like the Pandavas and their descendants, are never to be forgotten because in their kingdom, offenseless and honest living beings were never in trouble. The bull and the cow are the symbols of the most offenseless living beings because even the stool and urine of these animals are utilized to benefit human society. The descendants of the sons of Pritha, like Maharaj Parikshit, were afraid of losing their reputations. But in modern days, the leaders are not even afraid of killing such offenseless animals. Herein lies the difference between the reign of those pious kings and the modern states, ruled by irresponsible executive heads without knowledge of the codes of God. Nama Om Shri Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Dhita Vishwamate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Vancha Kalpatarupascha Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So in the previous chapter, chapter 16, we heard that how Maharaj Parikshit was going around his kingdom. And when he was going around, he was hearing all praises of his forefathers. And that is, you know, the Pandavas and others. And so he was hearing their praises. And it actually describes in verse number 16 something that he passed his days hearing the good occupation of his forefathers. So this is how he passed his days, hearing about his forefathers. Just like we hear about in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we try to spend our time hearing from the Bhagavatam. So similarly, he passed his days hearing about his forefathers. But now we see something different happening. Described previous chapter that how when he would hear, he was felt so proud and felt so satisfied. He opened his eyes with full satisfaction. And then when he would hear such glories about his forefathers, because they were in connection to Lord Krishna, and he would also hear the glories of Lord Krishna, he would give gifts to everybody. That was just his expression of gratitude when he heard such things. But now we are hearing something totally opposite. You can imagine a movie, you're seeing a movie and there is so much glorification of a person, and then all of a sudden the scene changes. And we see, something is happening here. And this is what's happening here, is that he's seeing, Maharaj Parikshit is seeing that in his kingdom somebody is being hurt, some innocent person, the bull, is getting hurt. So he's shocked. And what it says here is, he's saying here that please tell me the perpetrator of these mutilations which will blackmail the reputation of the sons of Pritha. So he was hearing the reputation before the sons of Pritha in such a nice way, and here he's getting concerned about what's going to happen in regards to the reputation of the sons of Pritha. And that's the topic that I wanted to discuss today about reputation. Prabhupada mentions here in the very first sentence, in the second purport, the reputation of the reign of Maharaj Ramachandra and that of the kings who followed. So in Maharaj Ramachandra's Maharaj Ramachandra, we know that how famous of a king he was. We all know his glories. Diwali is coming next week, and it's the celebration of Lord Ram coming back from the forest, and all the residents of Ayodhya celebrate the day when he came back from the forest after staying there for 14 years. And so everybody was jubilant. Everybody was so happy. But that was the reputation he had of being such a great king that he left everything for to fulfill his father's promise. But something drastic happened in his life too. Srila Prabhupada writes in a purport that Lord Ramachandra, being a good ruler, having such a good reputation, he wanted to know what his praja is talking about him. You know, you hear something in a certain way, but then you want to know, what are they actually talking about? I mean, somebody may praise you in the front, but can you imagine you put something in there whatever phone and you can hear what they're talking about you. You want to know what they're talking, you know, what they really think about you. And so, and that was a common practice. I'm told that the kings would go incognito just to see what's happening. You know, to really know what's happening, you have to go incognito. And so to ascertain what the citizens of Ayodhya thought of him, Lord Ramachandra would walk like that incognito. And one night, while he was walking in disguise, he happened to hear a foolish man saying to his unchaste wife, to his own wife, you go to another man's house, and therefore you are unchaste and polluted. I shall not maintain you anymore. A henpecked husband like Lord Ram may accept a wife like Sita, who went to another man's house, but I am not henpecked like him, and therefore I shall not accept you again. That's pretty harsh statement to hear. Lord Ram, who had such an impeccable character, and he was known for that, but he hears with his own ears something speaking like that about him. Speaking about him and speaking about his wife, who is the most chaste woman, that they're saying that she was unchaste and that he was henpecked. So, although such talk was nonsense, Prabhupada says that Lord Ramachandra nonetheless feared that it might ruin his reputation as a religious ruler. And thus he parted from his wife. He parted from his wife, who was pregnant. Trying to maintain one's reputation, we see here the Lord himself trying to maintain his reputation as a religious ruler. He parted from his wife, who was pregnant. I mean, that's a pretty big price to pay to maintain your reputation. But certainly we know that him maintaining his reputation was not some kind of ego. It wasn't an ego problem here. He was a religious ruler, and in order for him to see that his praja, his kingdom, the citizens would follow his instructions, and that is his instructions was to help them in their life back to Godhead, he gave up his wife. That's pretty heavy, and we see that we see that such sacrifices made. Although with such sacrifice he made, it's not only he made that sacrifice. You can imagine his even the citizens had to suffer. Although he was doing this for the citizens, but you can imagine his citizens. Some of the citizens who were not foolish like this person here, how they suffered seeing not having Mother Sita, not having Mother Sita there in their kingdom. The queen has such an important role in running a kingdom, and there she is absent. And the heartache that must have gone in the citizen's heart to know that Mother Sita was expecting, and Lord Ram gave her away. Certainly he had her in the protection of Valmiki. But the fact that to save his reputation, that was what Lord Ram did. And again, This was not some ego thing, but this was to for his service. For his service, he performed that sacrifice, and his service needed his reputation. So we see that in the kings. We see a lot of kings. Bhagavatam is full of people who, to maintain their reputation, what they did. And we won't go through that now, but I'm sure you can think a lot of examples. But let's come to something closer to us, and that is Śrīmad Caitanya Mahāprabhu's pastimes. Now, we're just mentioning about kings, but here now we talk about sannyasi, Lord Caitanya. Lord Caitanya Mahāprabhu, he was a very strict sannyasi. He actually took sannyas because, I guess, I don't know, you could call it reputation, but I don't know if that's the word, but we know that he took sannyas because he realized that in order for people to hear what he has to say, he has to take the sannyas order, because just prior to that, some of his students were criticizing him for when he was one time in ecstasy and he was chanting Gopi, 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 and the students could not understand his mood. Anyway, at that stage, then Lord Caitanya took sannyas. And so he, as a sannyasi, it was very important that he had good reputation. He had a certain purpose that he came as Lord Caitanya, and that is to deliver all of us. And so it was important that he had a good reputation. There was King Prataparudra, and we know these pastimes, and it's good to hear them over and over and over again. Maharaj Prataparudra, who was a great devotee of Lord Caitanya, when he heard about Lord Caitanya, he really wanted to surrender his life to Lord Caitanya. And so he wanted to have his darshan. So he asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya if he could please ask him to, he could have a darshan for Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya presented that to Lord Caitanya, and Lord Caitanya said, no, I am not going to give darshan to the king, because king is a materialistic person. And it is like associating with a woman. Just like being with a woman for a sannyasi is forbidden, for a sannyasi to associate with materialistic people is forbidden. So, no, I'm not going to do so. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, but he's not a materialistic person. He's your devotee. He's really your devotee. He wants to give his life to you. So please meet with him. Please give your mercy. Please give him darshan. And Lord Caitanya told him, if you are going to say that to me again, then I am going out of here. So do not bring that again. Can you imagine how the devotees are feeling? He is a king, and he is really a devotee of Krishna. And why would not Lord Caitanya meet him? And he's a devotee. So the devotees were really disturbed. And this is all to do with Lord Caitanya trying to make sure that his reputation is good. It's because of his reputation. This whole discussion with Lord Chaitanya and desire King Prataparudra wanting to meet Lord Chaitanya, that goes on for quite some time in a couple of chapters in Madhya Lila. And you can see that Krishna Das Kaviraj is really wants to tell us the pastimes. Actually, when I was trying to read the pastime, I couldn't figure out, because he explains in two chapters, and sometimes it's not necessarily chronological order, because Krishna Das Kaviraj gives a little pastime and then he goes back and then he describes it again in more detail, because he's thinking, oh, I'm going to leave, and so he wants to make sure he writes everything, and then he tells the pastime again, but in more detail. So I'm not too sure this is the same situation, but in the next chapter, again, describes that how King Prataparudra was very anxious to meet him. And so then the king, at that time he was in Cuttack, and he sent a letter to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and saying to could you please get the Lord's permission so that I could, you know, see him. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to the letter, he said, you know, I asked him, but he has said no to me. And so the king said to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in a letter, he said, you know, please ask the devotees. If the devotees, if Lord Chaitanya's devotees will ask him, his close associates will ask him, then he will grant it. So please submit this petition to them on my behalf. And so, and then he clearly said, he said, if he doesn't show me mercy, then I'll give up my kingdom. And so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was like, he was just like, didn't know what to do. He himself got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and now this devotee, this king wants mercy. Why doesn't he just give it to him? And it's all because of reputation. That's all. And so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya anyway met with all the devotees, and he, you know, described all the wishes of Maharaj Prataparudra. And so the devotee said, okay, we know the Lord will never meet him. We know that. But what we can do, maybe we will go again to the Lord, because they had gone before, and Lord Chaitanya said, don't bring this up again to me. But he said, rather than asking him to give him request for darshan, maybe we can just glorify him. And by glorifying him, Lord Chaitanya would, his heart will get softened, you know. And so they all decided, okay, this is the plan. We'll go and speak to him, but we won't talk about him giving darshan. So when they got there, they were ready to speak, but they couldn't say a word. They got all nervous because Lord Chaitanya had said what he said last time. And so they stayed quiet, and Lord Chaitanya could see there's something they want to say, but they're not saying. And so Lord Chaitanya said, I see that you want to say something. Why don't you speak? Tell me the reason. And so Lord Nityananda said, well, we want to tell you something, but we're actually very afraid. What we want to say is that we want to submit that before you, that something, and it may not be befitting, but the matter is that unless you see the king of Orissa, he'll become a mendicant. Can you imagine the words coming out and like, ooh? And so he said it. Lord Nityananda said those words, although they weren't planning to tell that, but it came out in front of Lord Chaitanya. And so when Nityananda Prabhu said that he will become a mendicant if you don't see him, Lord Chaitanya's heart did become softened, but he had to speak harsh words, because he had to. He said, I can understand that you all desire to take me to Cuttack to see the king, but what to speak of spiritual advancement, all the people will blaspheme me. And that was the reason. It's not that Lord Chaitanya didn't want to give him mercy. Lord Chaitanya gave mercy to Jagai and Madhai, the most fallen. But here the king, he won't give mercy to the king because he said all the people will blaspheme me. And so in conclusion, Nityananda Prabhu said, okay, why don't you give me one of your outer garments and I'll give it to the Lord. And so he got an outer garment and gave it to the Lord, gave it to Maharaj Prataparudra, who worshipped the outer garment. But the story doesn't end. Ramananda Roy, then, he had, Ramananda Roy, who used to work for the king, he requested the king that if he could, please, he wants to spend time with Lord Chaitanya now, give up his work as a politician, and if he could let him retire. And the king said, sure, you can retire, not to worry. And, you know, I'll give you enough pension. You don't have to worry for the rest of your life. Just serve the king, serve Lord Chaitanya, no problem. But then he said, and by the way, could you just ask him to meet me? So he said, you get everything, but could you please do that? So here it is, Ramananda Roy. I mean, one thing is that, okay, Lord Chaitanya refused all the other devotees. He even refused Lord Nityananda. But Ramananda Roy, I mean, Ramananda Roy is Ramananda Roy. So if he brings up to something to Lord Chaitanya, I mean, certainly Lord Chaitanya is going to listen, but how can he say no to Ramananda Roy? And so Ramananda Roy was, you know, he was a politician. He was a diplomat. So, you know, the diplomatic behavior. So he was able to, he did describe the king's love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that's how he approached the subject matter, talking about king's love for him. And he told him that how he had given him pension and let him retire, and he's such a great king, and, you know, so in that way he described what kind of the person the king was. So in his very diplomatic way, he told Lord Chaitanya about the love that king had for him. And in that way, he thought that he can arrange a meeting. So he finally, after not getting much response, he finally said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, could you please show your lotus feet to the king at least once? And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Ramananda, you should make this request after duly considering whether it is befitting for a sannyasi to meet a king. If a mendicant meets a king, this world and the next world are both destroyed for the mendicant. Indeed, what is there to say for the next world? In this world, people will joke if a sannyasi meets a king. And so Ramananda Roy, you know, he said, but, you know, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, you don't need to fear. You're independent. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't accept that. He said, I'm not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary human being. Therefore, I must fear public opinion with my body, mind, and words. And as soon as the general public finds a little fault in the behavior of a sannyasi, they advertise it like wildfire. Do we have experience of that? A black spot of ink cannot be hidden on a white cloth. It is always very prominent. So we can see how Lord Chaitanya, how he expressed the importance for him as a sannyasi to maintain his reputation. That was something very important. And certainly in this situation, Lord Chaitanya wanting to maintain his reputation, all the other devotees were affected. They were going through so much pain. Not, you know, here they are wanting to respect Lord Chaitanya and his desire, and then here's the king. He's the king. He's not just anybody. He's the king who maintains the whole kingdom that they're under the shelter of. That he takes care of Lord Jagannath's temple. He's the king. And seeing the king's distress, can you imagine if Mother Mukhe is in distress for something? How painful it is, would be for all of us. So he is the king, and he's in distress, and it's affecting all the devotees because Lord Chaitanya is saying that I have to be careful about my reputation as a sannyasi. So, we heard about reputation of kings, how they maintain. We're hearing about sannyasis, their reputation, how it's important. We know that from in our movement. It's so important for sannyasis to have their reputation. But here, in this room, we're a bunch of householders. Do we really need to care about our reputation? We're just lowly householders. Yeah? We don't need to worry about our reputation. You agree? No. That's true. You don't agree because we're not householders. We're not just simply householders. We're not ordinary householders. We're not. Strange to say that. But yes, we are special householders. And it's important for us to understand that we are not ordinary householders. Because our identity is not a householder. Our identity is that as householders, we are servants. We are servants of the servants of the servants of Srila Prabhupada, the whole disciplic succession of Lord Chaitanya, of Sri Krishna. We are representing them. And it's so important that we keep our reputation good. Extremely important. Because if we don't have a proper reputation, it might be tiny, it might be big. But because we represent Srila Prabhupada, because we represent Lord Chaitanya, because we represent Sri Krishna, it is so important to know that to be conscious of how we are acting. It's very important. Lord Krishna says when he is talking to the Kumaras, and when Jaya and Vijay did not, they stopped him from the Kumaras to enter the Vaikuntha. At that time, Lord Vishnu said to the Kumaras, "A wrong act committed by a servant leads people in general to blame his master, just as a spot of white leprosy on any part of the body pollutes all of the skin." He says, "To me, the Brahmana is the highest and most beloved personality. The disrespect shown by my attendants has actually been displayed by me because the doormen are my servitors. I take this to be an offense by myself. Therefore, I seek your forgiveness for the incident that has arisen." So, this is our position. We're servitors. We're servants. And we have to make sure that we act in such a way that it brings glory. It brings glory to Srila Prabhupada, and it brings glory to Lord Chaitanya. It brings glories to Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, in one of the purports in that chapter, he writes, A Vaishnav, therefore, should be fully qualified. As stated in the Bhagavatam, anyone who has become a Vaishnava has developed all good qualities of the demigods. You know, we can, our side will say, well, I'm not a Vaishnava, so yes, that's a fact that maybe I'm not a Vaishnava. But the fact is that others may think I'm a Vaishnava, and so I might as well, important that we act properly. Prabhupada, in the same purport, he says, a devotee should be blameless because any offense by the devotee is a scar on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have great responsibility on our shoulders that when we are interacting with devotees, non-devotees or devotees, that we should act properly. Not that, oh, I should act properly when I'm with non-devotees because I'm representing, because they see as Hare Krishnas and therefore I should act properly. But with devotees, so. No, Prabhupada says, the devotee's duty is to be always conscious in his dealings with others, especially with another devotee of the Lord. Wow. When I heard that, okay. And really, if you look at this, the pastime of the Kumaras and Jai and Vijay, they're amongst devotees. So it's the Kumaras are devotees of the Lord, and so are Jai and Vijay. But Jai and Vijay, they're personal servant of Lord Vishnu. And so, Lord Krishna said that, yeah, this is an offense. I feel like it's an offense by myself, and therefore I apologize. I seek your forgiveness. So as devotees and followers and servants of Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara, we should act in such a way that it brings reputation, good name, glory to Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. Dhruva Maharaj, he spread his father's reputation. Narada told his father, Uttanapad, that don't worry, because he was concerned about his son. He said, don't worry, he's spreading his own glories, but also your glories. And so we can fall in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj, who actually brought glories to his father, so we can also bring to our fathers and grandfathers and so on. And sometimes sometimes in this situation, in trying to do that, we may have to make a lot of sacrifice, personal sacrifice, but it is our duty that we shall do that. So any thoughts, realizations on this subject matter?
So thank you very much. Just a couple of things that came to mind. One is that you gave the detailed example of Lord Ram and Lord Chaitanya. So one thought that came to mind, are they concerned about their own reputation, or are they concerned about people or the kingdom or the citizens committing offenses by thinking ill about them, and therefore they want to protect them from offenses? So that's one. The other thing is that...
Let me just respond to that. In my mind, as I was thinking about the class, I was specifically thinking about them concerned about their service. Ramachandra considering about his service to the praja and his service of maintaining their religious vows or their journey in their spiritual life. And same thing with Lord Chaitanya, and that was my thought. But as you're asking that, I think certainly Lord Chaitanya, I could see him definitely having that concern, because when he took sannyas, that is specifically mentioned that he thought that he came here to deliver the fallen souls by giving them the holy name, but here the students are committing offenses to him, and thus it is not beneficial for him, beneficial for them, and therefore he thought, I better take sannyas because then they will have proper respect for me, and they will hear. So I think both those things are there, service for their service, but also for the aspect of them not committing offense to them. At least I know in Lord Chaitanya's case that I have heard that before.
Yeah, thank you very much. So the second thought that came to mind is, you describe in detail how Lord Chaitanya was resisting meeting the king, giving darshan, meeting for whatever reason. And in this Bhagavatam series here, you're discussing that how Srila Prabhupada especially commenting so strongly about how the leaders have to be educated, that they need to be not demoniac but pious and all these things. So, and now we see that the followers of Lord Chaitanya, followers of Srila Prabhupada in our movement, devotees are making so much efforts to reach leaders to try to give this knowledge, give this, you know, this understanding. So is it something contradictory as Lord Chaitanya is presenting here, as against what his followers, or let's say what we are trying to do in the current situation? I'm just trying to be like a devil's advocate here.
I guess I didn't get the point. In what way it's contradictory as what Lord Chaitanya is doing and what Srila Prabhupada's followers are doing? I didn't get the point.
Yeah, that Lord Chaitanya was avoiding meeting the leader, meeting the king.
I see.
And we are doing everything we can to meet
to
the leaders.
To meet the leaders.
Yeah.
Yes, this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's followers. I mean, just like in the case of, you know, Lord Chaitanya avoiding that, but then to meet the king, but his followers are trying their best that the king, that Lord Chaitanya meets the king. So even there, they're acting in a contradictory way almost, because Lord Chaitanya is saying, no, I don't want to do that, and the followers are saying, please do that, you know. And so that is the nature of the devotees of the Lord, that they're more merciful. And so you can see that there's so much, you see that all the time in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, where Lord Chaitanya is not being merciful, but then his devotees are more merciful. And so when Lord Chaitanya says, okay, I think it was Kaliya Krishna Das or something who had traveled with him, Lord Chaitanya didn't want to see him anymore because he had gone to the Bhattatharis. But then the devotees were so kind that they gave him some service, you know. So these are the devotees' merciful nature. So yes, Lord Chaitanya didn't want to meet the king, the sannyasi didn't want to, but his followers, whether then or even now, they go and meet the king, the leaders of our, you know, of our present day age. Srila Prabhupada was very much inclined to do so, because he thought if the leaders take, then the followers will also take. So that's the merciful nature.
Thank you, very nice. I just have one quick thing to clear up. Mm-hmm. You said about Lord Chaitanya, and I thought you said his students were speaking ill against him. So was it actually students of his, or was it some other students? Because that's what I kind of understood when I read that pastime. So I was just like a little confused in my head.
You're saying, was it some of the students or all the students? Is that what your question?
No. Was it actually students of Lord Chaitanya, or was it some others, you know, just students in general? I just couldn't get that clear in my head.
I don't remember clearly, but I thought they were his students.
Okay.
Anybody else would like to clarify that?
They were learning grammar for Lord Chaitanya. This is before he became sannyasi or even...
Yes, it was definitely before taking sannyas, because that's when he later on realized that he wants to take sannyas. But yeah, I think it was...
They were not
his disciples.
They were not.
His students.
They were just students of grammar. He was a teacher.
Yes, Nandini.
Thank you for such a nice class. I just want to add to Dharmaraj Prabhu's comment that even Srila Prabhupada tried to meet Indira Gandhi several times. Several times he wrote. There were letters going back and front from his student disciples. Like just one topic of her coming to Mayapur, there are 20 letters on it, 20 conversations or letters on it. So he tried really hard to meet Indira Gandhi. And then he was allowed to meet her, but because she was stressed out, she only gave 5 to 10 minutes. And then he writes in that letter that pariprashnena sevaya, she didn't even have time for that. So there was not much usefulness of my meeting, but she allowed my car to come in. And he writes in detail about what happened. And then he was very happy with Gurudas and Yamuna, that they made contact with Indira Gandhi, and he said, please stay in touch. So we have a... example to follow.
Thank you. Any further questions? Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.